So the last year, we spoke about, we began speaking about the different practicalities of dating. And I guess we can say that this is somewhat like the halacha lamaisa of the hashkafas, which we spoke about beforehand. B'siyat Dishmaya, we tried to lay down certain hashkafas and yesodos in dating and in marriage. And so therefore, the dating process should reflect as much as possible the hashkafas of which all these things come from. Practically speaking, as we pointed out, the way that, if we can say, we do it in our quote-unquote more modern circles, perhaps have been influenced by the Gaish way of doing things, a little bit more sichliistic, whether like by the Chassidim, which really seems to be very much lined up with the Divi Chazal Mamish. Benkach u benkach, the Yesod HaDavar is the Emunah. That a person goes in knowing from the get-go that he's looking for that which belongs to him. That he's looking for the one, not just anyone. And so therefore, the hashkafa throughout the dating process should never be distorted from date to date, from the tachlis, and from the yesod, and from the amuna, which is that a person is looking for that hamshacha. Just to get into a little bit more specific, in terms of the halacha lemaisa aspect, but again, based on hashkafa from Chazal. We had mentioned that coming into the parasha of marriage is really coming into the Beis HaMikdash. And when we start to analyze what that means, to come into the Beis HaMikdash, it puts things into a perspective. Like we began, how does one date in Avodas Hashem? That dating is a very important and integral part of Avodas Hashem, and a person can have tremendous aliyah from the process, or chalila, tremendous yirida in the process. When a person enters into the Beis HaMikdash, of course, he can only enter Betar. And so therefore, when a person enters into the world of marriage, bechlal, that he's going to have to start taking care of somebody else. And as we mentioned, that the yesod of marriage or dating and from there to marriage is that a person makes himself ayin as much as possible. That he starts to place somebody else first, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first, that a person has his whole level of Avodas Hashem transcends. So the first thing that a person has to recognize is that when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, you come B'tahara. Chassam Sefer when his son Chassam Sefer was about to be married, and I guess it was customary in those times and maybe even today in some places that the Chassan makes a Siyum Masechta before the Chasna. So he turned to his son, to the Chassam Sefer, and he said to him, so which Masechta were you planning on being Masayim? So he said, I wasn't Masayim or Masechta. He says, I decided to complete Maseches Taharas. So when the Chassam Sefer heard this, his eyes ran with tears. He was so besimcha over the fact that his son was telling his father that he prepared himself B'Kedusha V'Tahara. So he said to him, now that you're a Messiah, Masechta Taharas, which is the last of the Shisha Sidra Mishnah, let's go together to begin Seder Zeraim and Maseches Berachos. You'll plant good seeds, you'll have beautiful children, and be zecha to all the Berachos. And with that, they went together to the Chuppah. The person is a maven on what marriage is about, that it's a bechina of entering into the Beis HaMikdash. building a bayis, which is a kedusha de kabayis, which is a mikdash ma'at. It requires that a person be a tar, and his whole perspective of dating and what he's looking for in a wife be from a perspective of tahara, not to be nimshach achar the tavas aguf and the mominess and the yichus and the cover, like we spoke about at length. And as we mentioned, the first place that a person encounters when entering into the Beis HaMikdash is the Azara. It's really the Ezra's Nashim. Because that's exactly what a person is entering for. He's looking to find an Isha. And an Isha is called an Ezer. And as a person goes further and further into the Beis HaMikdash, the most important keli in the Beis HaMikdash that he encounters, which is really at the center, at the very center of the Beis HaMikdash, is the Mizbeach. What the Mizbeach represents, that a person makes an act of Mesiras Nefesh. Like he spoke about, that a person is Mevatel himself, he's Mevatel his Ratzon. The Mizbeach represents the bond between a Chassan and a Kala. The Gemara says that if chalid, if there's a divorce between a husband and a wife, afilu mizbeach marir alav dvaros, that even the mizbeach cries for them. That if a person loses perspective of the relevance of the mizbeach in his life, especially in his married life, so the mizbeach cries for him. Because as long as a person is mindful of the mizbeach and what it means that a person makes a self-sacrifice to his partner, then things will go well. But as soon as a person sees marriage as having a sense of being a sense of entitlement, so then that's when things start to fall. We'll explain, we'll come back to this message in a moment. Hashem. When a person wishes to come onto the Mizbeach, which is a very high way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he has to go up the Keves. The Kohen enters upon the Keves. The Keves is a lashon of V'kiv Shuha. The Torah says that when Adam takes Chava, the idea is v'kivshua. And the first thing which it says when a person, when the coin enters up onto the Mizbeach, is that he's pana l'soviv. Pana l'soviv means that he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the soviv kalaman. It doesn't just mean that he turns directions and he has to walk around the Mizbeach. Pana l'soviv means that every time the coin makes a move on the Mizbeach, it's called pana l'soviv. And instead of having pinios, distractions in his ashkafos, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the soviv kalaman, that he makes everything run in this world, that he decides our fate. Being that every single act of marriage is an act of where he goes on to the Mizbeach and that she goes on to the Mizbeach and they commit themselves to be Meiser Nefesh for each other, that the Eish of the Mizbeach is the Bechin of Isha Reach Nechoyach Lasha. And Isha is a Lashon of an Isha. That if a person makes the Mizbeach his focus in the dating process, and his ashkafa is that of the Mizbeach, he'll be zayichet to an Isha, which is a Reach Nechoyach Lashem. Now this idea of Reach Nechoyach Lashem will come to in Mitzvah Hashem. But the idea of the Eish of the Mizbeach, of course, as we know, Chazal tell us that if a chasen akala are zoche, then Ish v'Isha shruy b'neim, if not, Eish achlasan, that there's an Eish to Kedusha and there's an Eish which is not an Eish to Kedusha. An Eish to Kedusha is like the Sneh. It's an Eish she'enu mechala. It's an Eish which is not consumed. That's called the Shechina Kedusha. But an Eish which consumes, that's a foreign Eish. That's not an Eish to Kedusha. And the idea is that a chasen and kala, that when they go out with each other, the goal and that what they have in mind is that there be some type of an Eish which is created between them. A type of an Eish of which we say that Ma'im Ramim lo yichlu l'chavas es ha'ava. That it's an Eish of Ava, of which, as we said last week, and the name of tzaddikim on previous occasions, that Mayim stands for, we said, Mamon, Yofi, Mishpacha. That these are all pnius, that a person can make a wrong turn on the Mizbeach, that he doesn't know how to go up on the Mizbeach and to follow suit, and how to walk around the Mizbeach in the proper way. But if it's really amistic, then the chasen and kahal that they produce between themselves in the conversations that they have with each other and the time spent with each other in Eish. And this is the Eish that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them in the beginning, and it's supposed to carry them their entire lives. And in fact, the idea, if Eish tukad al Mizbeach le'sichba, the Isra of putting out the Eish of the Mizbeach, means that what's important, and this is really more of a marriage hashkafa, is that the Eish which exists, the chemistry which exists between the chasen and kahal, the Eish which they have, even in their dating process, is carried over to the marriage and should be maintained always. Throughout the marriage, the Eish al Mizbeach is le'sichba, it can never be put out. And this is really more of a marriage shmooze. But it means that the chasen and kala, that even when they become husband and wife, they never really stop dating in a sense, in that they have to always preserve the eish. And there's going to be takufos where the eish is a little bit less and a little bit more. Of course, as you can imagine, you know, the cycle that she goes through will affect that as well in a certain sense. But there's going to be ups and downs, not just on a physical level, but on a spiritual, emotional level, in a ruchnius level. But the isr is that it can never be put out. It always has to maintain that stability of the eish tukad al mizbeach le'sichba. Together with this is the idea which we've spoken about already, that an isha is niknas b'kesef. Kesef is a lashon of kisufin, which is the hamshacha which we spoke about, which is the mashcheni acharecha narutza, that the kesef is reflective of this eish. And as we said before, that it doesn't mean that you have to know exactly why. Of course, you have to see certain milas, which we'll speak about in Mitzvah. But the eish which we're speaking about between a chasen and kala, which they're trying to create during the dating process, is an eish of kisufin, is an eish of kesef, where there's a hamshacha. And that hamshacha comes from a sense of that if a person comes in with a hashkafa, with the proper hashkafa, then that eish will form the way it's supposed to. Of course, we see an example of this b'chin of Mizbeach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to take Klal Yisrael as his kala. The two mitzvahs which he gave us were Pesach and Milah. Pesach is of course, it's a korban. It's a korban yachid. But even the act of Milah represents a display of tremendous mysterious nefesh and sacrifice that we make for Kadosh Baruch Hu. And because we were committed to making that sacrifice for him, and he was created for making the sacrifice to us, that Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though Bikdushasa, which we can't even imagine, that he came down into the Tumas Mitzrayim, that he went to such lengths, that it was such an act of mysterious nefesh on his part to come down and to take us. Like we said before, like Chazal say, G'chayin, that a person has to bend down to take an isha. Was there never a greater act in history that a chasen went so low in order to take his kala? The fact that he showed a mysterious nefesh, he showed the kala how much he appreciates her, and the kala showed back an act of mysterious nefesh. So the fact that each one is walking on the Mizbeach, that creates the Eish, which is the Eish of Ish v'Isha, with the Yud and the Kei within it, which is the Eish of the Shechinah Daisha, which about preserves and will always maintain the relationship between the two of them. And so therefore, in order to go in with the proper Hashkafa into marriage and into dating, we spoke before that a person has to have what's called Esa Einai. Esa Einai means he has to have eyes of Nisun. Heliga eyes. And it's very easy when a person begins dating to take his eyes off the tachlis. But a person always has to keep his eyes on the tachlis of what he's getting into, what he's getting involved in. That it's for the purpose of finding a spouse. And that's not always easy to do, because many times dating becomes just like a lifestyle, especially if it doesn't happen right away. that it can become very mundane, very repetitive, a very big tircha. It becomes an expense of time. No, Hashem should save us from these types of things. But if it doesn't always happen right away. A person has to maintain Esa Eini, means eyes of Kedusha and eyes of Tachlis. It means that never to take our eyes off the Tachlis of what we're invested in. And never to take our eyes off the fact that this is a Chelik in Avodas Hashem. And I'm going to do what I need to do to go through the process in order to be end up with the Tachlis of what this is all about. And if there's going to be suggestions which don't work out, and sometimes we think the dates are a waste of time, they're not a waste of time. Every single thing is for a purpose, like we spoke about before. It's just a challenge many times because of the process to maintain these Esa Eini. So therefore, the first place that a person comes to when walking into this Beis HaMikdash that he's trying to create, he comes in B'tahara and he comes to the Mizbeach. And that's really the foundation of the dating process and of marriage itself. Like we find that after Yitzchak, he was placed on the Akedah, immediately afterwards he found Rivka. That if a person is makash himself to the Mizbeach the way he's supposed to, that will bring his Zivik to him B'kalas. The actual date itself, takes place in a different place in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash. And as radical as it sounds, but it does make a lot of sense, as we'll see, is that the place of the date that it actually takes place is in the Kodesh Kodashim. Now you'll say you're skipping steps. But really, the Kodesh Kodashim is the place that a person is meyachin himself with his wife. Isn't the Kodesh Kodashim like the yichud room? Is the Kodesh Kodashim not the chuppah? It certainly is that. And there's a way, Mirtz Hashem will have the schos to be able to speak about what Kodesh Kodashim means vis-a-vis the actual marriage, in terms of the chuppah and the yom ha-chuppah and the yichud room, what that means, Kodesh Kodashim. But in a certain sense, the date itself, the fact that a guy and a girl sit across from each other in a private setting and they spend time with each other like that, they're miyachid themselves with each other, that's a bechin of Kodesh Kodashim. Because there's two bechinas of Yom Kippur. There's Yom Kippur Gadol and there's Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur Gadol, when you go into the Kodesh Kodashim, that's for the chuppah. But the date itself is supposed to be Yom Kippur Katan. Then you go into the Kodesh Kodashim to date. This creates a whole new perspective on what a date is supposed to be. First of all, you have to understand, the Rav Kook already writes that as much and as important it is to be a Baal Midos, as central as that is in Avodas Hashem and in being a mensch, Chazal warned about having and maintaining a certain tznius with Nashim, that a person shouldn't say Shalom to an Isha, meaning at the expense of the Derech Eretz, that to preserve the tznius is so important that we're able to make a sacrifice on certain halachs of Derech Eretz in order to preserve the sanctity of tznius. It teaches us how much we have to respect the halachas of tznius when dating. That things should be done in a way that the Kedusha and the Taira is always preserved. But we have to understand that if we are allowed to sit across from each other, meaning a man and a woman are allowed to sit across from each other for the time that they do, it's literally an Eis L'Asos L'Hashem Heferet HaEsach. It's literally only because that a husband and a wife, that they have to marry each other, and this is literally the purpose of creation. It's the very first mitzvah. There's so much, the whole world is dependent upon an Ish V'Nisha coming together. that it's literally an eslasis l'Hashem yifirat ha'asecha. It's a special heter for a guy and a girl to be able to sit with each other and to shmooze with each other for the tachas of what they're there for. Now, the problem comes up when they see it as being something which is just a way of life. It's not supposed to be that way. That if a person really goes in and he goes into the mikdash with a certain sense of kedusha and tahara involved, right, he's going to stick to the plan. And he realizes that when he's there, that it's a bechin of eslasos l'Hashem yifirat ha'asecha. And he sits there with a certain kovid rosh. And she sits there with a certain kovid rosh. Doesn't mean that a person can't smile and can't joke and can't be a little bit loose. But not in a way where it loses the esa'inai. That it just becomes like, you know, you're just spending time with him and she's spending time with him and he's spending time with her together. It's literally like a heter of Chazal refer to the date, like marriage, as motzi asirim bekosharos. It's literally like freeing a person from captivity, that as long as a person is single and he doesn't have a wife, or she doesn't have a husband, so they're literally, they're locked up in themselves. That there's so much which they want to accomplish in life, that they can't do that without a partner. So Chazal say, okay, just like if you're going to do pidyon shvuyim, there's certain heterim, of course, it's pidyon shvuyim. It's motzi asirim. It's going to be, we're going to allow certain things to override certain things because of the chashivas of what this is. But realize that when you're doing this, that what Chazal did for you, or what the Torah does for you in order to allow you to be sitting here right now. That's why it says, motzi asirim bekosharos. Bekosharos means like bekashros. That it has to be done bekashros. Just like you don't put anything into your mouth without an OU. Right, it needs a kosher symbol. It needs a kosher symbol. Right, there needs to be an OU here. It has to be done bekashrus. You have to know like the halachas of tznias and of derech eretz and of kedusha v'tahara when I'm going on these dates. Just like when the kohen gadol goes into the kodesh kedushim, he doesn't go in for long periods of time. He goes in for the time necessary to do his avodah. And there's an avoda from date to date which takes place, and it doesn't need to be a long time. It doesn't need to be a long time. You need to accomplish what you need to accomplish, and we'll come back to that in Mirtz Hashem. And then you do what you need to accomplish, and then you realize that, okay, then it's over. Then the date is over. This idea that the Kodesh Kodashim, which is the dating makom that a person with her are thrust into for this time period, what the Kohen Gadol sees in the Kodesh Kodashim is the Kruvim. The Chazal have many different mishalim as to what the Kruvim represent. One of them is that it represents an Ishvanisha. And that's exactly what the dating process is that you have two kruvim who are standing opposite each other, looking at each other face to face, and they're schmoozing in the Kodesh Kodashim on top of the Aron Kodesh. That's really, and we put it into perspective, like the backdrop of what a date really is. And the main thing is to discuss Hashkafas and Torah. So you're standing on the Aron Kodesh, right? The main thing is to get to is to be able to reveal and to speak to a person about what their real hashkafas in life are. Meaningful conversation. We'll come back to that. That's more like halacha l'maisa. This is really also just hashkafa, which sheds light on the halacha l'maisa aspect of it. And when when the guy and the girl are sitting opposite with each other, the idea of kruvim represents that each person is looking at the other one and saying to themselves and wondering, do I see kruvim in this person? Do I see a purity in this person? Do I see a gutzkeit in this person? Do I see what the kruvim represent in the person I'm sitting across from? And what that means is that I'm looking to see how much do I respect this person? How much does this person embody the values of what it means to be a Kruvim, to be a Malach Hashem? Of course, not everybody's going to be a Malach Hashem. But the things which are important to us, like we spoke about the Inyan of Yerushamayim, the Inyan of Tznius, the Inyan of Balas Midos, of Chesed. This is what one Karev is looking at the other Karev and asking themselves, do I see that in the other person? And this comes back to the Mizveach idea, is that if a person sees marriage as a sense of entitlement, what can the other person do for me? How will this person make my life better? So then that's a huge mechitzah into finding a person's real zivuk, because that's not what marriage is about. Marriage is about a certain tachlis in growth and avodas Hashem. So therefore, part of that process is, instead of looking across from that person and saying, what can this person do for me? A person must be asking themselves, do I respect this person? Is this a person that I'm ready to make sacrifices for? The Chazal say that a person has to be mechabed his isha more than he's mechabed himself. We need to say that he has to be able to see milus in her, that he says, I'm willing to make sacrifices for this person because I respect this person for who they are. If a person doesn't enter the marriage with a certain sense of respect for the girl or for the guy he's going out with, then the whole relationship is flawed at its core. And so therefore, if a person is going into marriage, chas v'shalom, because he's interested in money, or in the yichus, or in the looks, or anything like that, these are things which you don't really have respect for. These are things which just make you feel good, or it has to do with your entitlement, or how you think it's going to be good for you. You're not going to respect those things. If that's the reason why you're getting in, then she's going to feel not respected, or he's not going to feel respected in the relationship. The person has to look at the Kruvim and see the Kruvim for what they really are. Not to get caught up in the wings of the Kruvim, or of the gold of the Kruvim, or the fact that the Kruvim are B'nai Malachim, or where they come from. Not to be distracted for the chitzonius of what the Kruvim represents, but the purity of the Kruvim. For the pnimius of what the Kruvim represent. If a person can't find a reason, a deep pnimius reason why to respect their spouse, then how can you go to the chuppah together? That's why a person, the Kohen Gadol, can only go into the Kodesh Kodashim with Bigdei Lavan. Bigdei Lavan represents that a person is malabing himself, that he purifies himself. He doesn't go in with Bigdei Zav, which is like a person is distracted by the Zav, by the Chitzonius, by the shimmer and shine, by these types of things. He goes in with a certain sense of purity, that his pneus are pure, with a certain sense of tyrus amidos. That's not just to the chuppah, but to every day, to be able to have those eyes of esainai. And those are the type of eyes we're looking for in the person across from us. The Chazal say, kol kala she'ine ha'yafos, ein kol guf of tzrika b'dika. Ina yafos means that you're able to see a certain purity, the pnimius of a person, that the eyes are the window to the soul, something deep about the person, that you respect something deeper about that person than what you see on the outside. And by the way, ina yafos also means potential in the person. You can see potential in a person. You may not see right now that this person is somebody who is, let's say, a bal madrega, of which you feel that this is where you are per se. But if you see that that person has such desire for growth, and you see in that person's eyes that they're really sincere, that they have a vision, that they're roa sanola, that's what it means to have beautiful eyes. That's by the way why tzaddikim, there were some tzaddikim, that they were makbid on yichus. Not that we're so careful about that, but by the tzaddikim that they were makbid on yichus, yichus has to do with the potential of the person. There's a makom by yichus, which is not just chitzonius, that yichus means that the yichus is mechayiv and ensures that every person who comes from that yichus will eventually turn out to be a tzaddik and a tzaddikus. We have to understand yichus at its pnimius, not at its chitzonius. The tzaddikim know how to value that at its pnimius. But for us, that we're really not such yachsanim, so that's really not such a factor to us. That's why it says that when Kodesh Baruch Hu came to take Klai Yisrael as a shidduch, so the pasuk says, "Vayar Elokim es bnei Yisrael, vayeda Elokim." That Hashem saw bnei Yisrael. He saw that we were the children of Yisrael. He saw the yichus in Klai Yisrael. He saw that we come from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Vayeda Elokim, and he knew that we would be good. That even though we had nothing to show for ourselves at the time, va'at aron ve'ariyah, we were mamish barren lagamri when he took us out and he chose us. But Hashem saw the potential in us, and he was right. 50 days later, we stood in Har Sinai under the chuppah, because he saw the potential in us, and that potential came out with the Korban Pesach and the Bris Milah. But that only came out because we're Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. So even though a person may not see right now, but part of the cheshbon is that he sees the potential. And that could be even more important. That shows that a person is chacham ro'as anola. Because if a person is sitting across from a potential spouse and he sees right now that they look very great, but he can see from their hashkafas, from the way they're talking, or the matzah that they're in, that this is not going to last. This is gonna take a dive. So then a person also has to be very careful with that. But of course, the main thing that we're looking for, and this is just more the halacha l'maaseh of it, is that a person is looking for that hamshacha. That without that hamshacha, there's nothing. That the hamshacha is really the chaysem. It's the seal in the entire relationship. That a person is willing and ready to make a jump after he sees the values which he's looking to see in the person he's sitting across from. That after he has that respect and he sees the milos tovus and he sees the pnimius of which he needs to see. It's also the kadosh isha at shirena, that he has to see the kedusha in her. And she has to see the kedusha in him. That if a person sees those things, and then he's willing to jump, he's willing to make a move, be'emuna, just like a Kodesh Baruch Hu was willing to take a jump for Bnei Yisrael, and we're willing to take a jump for Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we spoke about before, that the whole aspect of Kriyas Yamsov, that is Kashas Yivukin Kriyas Yamsov, like my Rebbe Rav Chaim Brimson and other tzaddikim, is that by Kriyas Yamsov, Nachshon was willing to jump into the sea, because he felt it was right. If that's there, that's the Iker. In fact, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, he had a son-in-law, Rabbi Chiel Ashkenazi. And so when the Baal Shem, when he heard about this Rabbi Chiel, he sent a shliach to go give him a test. You know, you have to the minhag is that you give a test to a potential chassan. So the first question which he posed to Rabbi Chiel, what the shliach posed to Rabbi Chiel was, so what do you know? So Bichel said, I don't know anything. I never knew anything and I'm never going to know anything. So when he came back to the Baal Shem, he said, oh, exactly what I was looking for. A certain sense of emuna, a certain sense of isbatlus, knowing who you really are. This is what the Baal Shem was looking for the tmimus. These types of qualities. Spoke about last time the idea of the dating process as being something which is a ratzo v'shov. That every date is a ratzo, which is a step forward. And then after the date, it's a shov. So just to discuss this a little bit more, Bezat Hashem. The tachlis of every ratzo is to create a ratzo. Hence, ratzo is a lashon of ratzon, and that's the idea which we spoke about, mashchini acharecha narutza. That the ratzon gives the person the desire to run after this person. But after every day, there's a period called shov. And shov has many connotations. The simple connotation of shov means that a person gives himself time to absorb what happened. Not to act rashly after a date. We'll come back to discussing the actual dates themselves, but the shov is always the same. The ratzo is going to be different each time, but the shov is always the same. The shov is that after a date, a person needs time to be able to absorb. Because just because you know the conversation which took place on a date, there's many things within the neshama and within the emotional level and the psychological level which take time to process. And so therefore, what's customary many times is that after a date, the shadchan or the other side is looking for an answer right away. You don't need to give an answer right away. In fact, you should bedafka wait till the next day to give your answer. Just like when a person brings a korban on the mizbeach, it's a mitzvah of lina that you sleep over till the next night. There's nothing wrong with sleeping on it. Fakir, that when you actually sleep on it, so then you process it, and many times the next morning you have a new perspective of things, and you allow it to process on every single level of who you are. There's no need to rush to get back. No matter what pressure there is, it's all a mistake. It needs time. This is a huge decision. And as we said before, it's not like you're making that decision. Hashem made that decision for you already. But it takes time to process what occurred, to understand clearly as possible on every single level what transpired. Is there a hamshacha for the next date, or is there not a hamshacha for the next date? And the shov will determine whether or not there's a real ratzo, that a person has a ratzon to go on weiter to the next date. So the shov is a hachana and a preparation for the ratzo, which will take a person to the next date. Another dimension of shov is literally means like shov mamish, an act of tshuva. Like we said before, pana l'sovev, to maintain the tahara. That when a person goes out with a girl and when a girl with a guy, so in a certain sense, it was an eis lasos l'Hashem yefirat terasecha. It shouldn't really need to be this way. This is a huge heter that a person has to do that. And if a person gets caught up in the dating scene, goes from date to date to date, then it just becomes common occurrence that, you know, I sit around with girls and I shmooze with girls, and girls sit around with guys and shmooze with guys. Part of the process after the date is that a person has to reflect upon the date and say to himself, just to lift himself up. That really, I don't belong sitting across with somebody, with a guy, with a girl, and a girl with a guy. I belong in the Beis Medrash. That's where I belong. And a person shouldn't feel like, you know, after going on a date, that he comes back into the Beis Medrash, that his mind is wandering, he doesn't feel so comfortable in the Beis Medrash anymore. Fakir, that he has to be able to realize that this is the place where I should be all the time. And it was in Eis Lassos Lashem Yifira Teresecha that I even did this. But a person always has to maintain the Kedusha and to grow from the experience. And that again, of course, comes from not losing sight of the Tachlis, not losing sight of where you are in the Beis HaMikdash when going on these dates. But it requires a tshuva, because in a certain sense, the very act of dating itself, it brings a person down. A person therefore has to literally maintain a sense of tshuva, not to get sucked in into quote-unquote a dating scene or a dating life. But the actual ratzo of the date, which is the actual date itself, which is a step forward, that a person is looking to move forward. So again, to maintain the hashgafa, that the point of the ratzo is to create a hamshacha and to create a ratzo. Is to create a ratzo. A ratzo of, I want to be with this person. That it feels right when I'm with this person, and it doesn't feel right when I'm not with this person. It's not like the movies portray, like you fall in love, and everything is beautiful, and you really know this person. That's not what it is. It's coming from a higher place, that a person has a ratzon, that I want to be with this person, that it feels right to be with this person. When speaking about the actual date, from date to date to date to date, there should always be progression. There should always be some sort of progression. But a person has to be, to go b'chachma, to know how to progress the date forward. Now, that, like we said last time, it doesn't mean that every single date should be or will be a sit-down across from each other type of a date. Although that is the tzura of what's most tachlis-orientated, but it's not going to work every single time for a very simple reason. It's that people are only willing to share with people who are strangers to them so much without actually being comfortable with them. And so therefore, going on a date, which is a game, like it's like a game changer in a sense that it changes things in a way if you go, you know, out on somewhere else other than sitting across from each other, you create a certain sense of comfort with each other so that you're able to share things which you really don't necessarily share with somebody who you don't know. That's the point of those dates. So a person who goes out on a date, if he's going miniature golfing, and he doesn't go 2-3 hours miniature golfing and say, you know what, this was such a waste of time. We didn't talk about anything tachlis. It was just a waste. It was just hitting balls back and forth. It's not true. Because what that is, it's a hachana for the next date, so that the next time you sit down with each other, now you're going to be willing to share things about yourselves or to ask questions to that other person, which are going to be able to open things up more, which you couldn't ask before you went on a date like that. Notice how those types of dates, that they open things up, so now you can ask more meaningful questions and move forward. That's a type of a date which is a ratzo, which is a shov type of a date, which may seem like it's taking a step backwards, but it's really a step forward. It's like if a person goes in to a doctor's office and he's doing work on the patient. So after a little bit of time, the doctor will say to the patient, okay, you know what? We've done whatever we can do now. Come back next week and we'll go weiter. So the patient can't say, you know what, let's do everything all in one shot. Because the doctor said your body can only take so much. You can only do so much in one sitting. After one sitting, your body, let the body have time to heal itself, to absorb, to change a little bit, and then you'll come back. You'll be at a different stage, so now you can absorb something more. And the same thing is true when it comes to dating. You can only ask certain questions to a stranger. And if you think that you're going to be able to accomplish all at once, and you can speed date, it's not going to work. Because you can only reveal to somebody as comfortable as you are to reveal those deeper places of who you are. And those deeper places of who you are is what reveals whether or not there's a real hamshacha here. Now, there's no klalim in terms of how many dates. The only klal is that it should be a ratzo b'shov, that after the date and after sleeping on and after thinking about it or even consulting many times, always have to good to have somebody to speak to about these things. And not to everybody. It's not type of something which you speak to everybody about. This is something which is a very personal thing. A person should have a friend and a parent if the relationship is good. And a Rebbe and a Mor HaDerech to speak these things out with. Because many times it's not clear to a person what's the reason why there is or there's not a Hamshacha. Many times the Hamshacha could be very chitzonius based. It could be a person is being caught up in the looks, in which case that's not a Hamshacha at all. Or many times a person is not feeling Hamshacha because of something which is not a real reason not to have a Hamshacha. And it could be something which is just being ma'akivit a little bit. And sometimes it just takes a little advice from somebody else to be able to open it up, and then boom! And a person starts to feel the Hamshacha very much. A person shouldn't rely on himself completely as if he really knows what he's looking for and he's a bucky in the process, that everything's going to be fine if he doesn't ask advice. Fakaret. Fakaret. A person should have somebody to work things out with. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. Now, of course, this may sound a little bit radical, but it's not. You have to be Meshire, just B'derech Klal, how many dates? I would probably say 4 meaningful dates. It should be a normal time for a guy and a girl to know whether or not this is right or not, to be able to take a jump. A real jump, a kosher jump, an emes and munadika jump. Then in the same way that when a person goes on to the Mizbeach, he goes to 4 chronos, that he has to go to 4 corners of the Mizbech until he comes around again? Or in the same way that the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kadashim 4 times on Yom Kippur? 4 is a number a person can really get from the outside to the inside in a very thorough way. Kiddushin is called the Havaya. A yatsa v'haisa, that a person is forging a havaya with his spouse. There's 4 letters in the Shem Havaya, and it goes like from top to bottom. It goes from the hey to the vav to the hey to the yud. And by that point, it's already enough to form havaya. But it means meaningful dates, right? It doesn't mean to say that a person is going to go out on one date and then go, you know, miniature golfing, and then a third, and then another date like that, and then it means meaningful dates. It could maybe be 6 dates. It could be maybe 5-6 dates. But at that point is usually enough of a time that a person should know whether or not there's a hamshacha and that there's a ratzon here or not. And at that point, a person should question himself and say, you know, maybe it's not right, or maybe there's something which I'm not focusing on, or I need some help from the outside to be able to figure things out. Because you're not looking to know the person. And that's why in the secular welt, they think that you have to go out for many, many months because you have to know the person. That's not what this is about. You're not going to know your spouse till 10 years, I mentioned. The Rambam says 10 years you don't know your spouse. Just like there's 4 worlds, there's Asiya, to Yitzia, to Bria, to Atzilus. Now it's almost like on the first date you can discuss, let's say, like the chitzonius things, you know, where you come from. Where'd you go to school, this and that. And again, it gets to a point where ad kan, like you don't ask dates about what's appropriate for the second meeting on the first date. You don't want to take up all of your information. And if you're going to ask those types of questions, then you're being masigvul. You don't know this person well enough to ask those questions, which I guess you would call pnimius de chitzonius. Like there's the chitzonius of the first date, and then the second time will be more of like the pnimius of the chitzonius, a little deeper about the chitzonius. And then usually by the time you're going to get into the pnimius, you're going to need a date to break things down a little bit more so that there's more comfort. And then you'll be able to ask questions about the chitzonius of the pnimius. And then about the pnimius to pnimius. And that's when the things really will come out and you'll be able to really understand if there's a hamshacha here or not. But again, as you're going along, gradually, the ratzah should be building. You should be looking forward to seeing that person the next time. And if there's not, then you have to figure out why not. It's a simim and hashamayim. This is what, like the Chazal Inish said, this is teaching us and telling us whether or not this has been preordained, if this is right or if it's not right. It's almost like if a person is, you know, jumping off the diving board. You know, you take 3-4 steps and then you dive. That's really what this is. You take 3-4 steps, you look at the water, you know, you're not scared to go in, and then you jump. But it's a jump. You're not going to dive off the diving board unless you're comfortable in the water. You know what you're getting yourself into in a certain sense. You know how to swim. You know what to expect. Because it gets to a point that after the amount of dates that a person goes out and he's supposed to make the jump and he doesn't make the jump, then the relationship becomes sour. There's a moment to jump. I think we mentioned this last time. There's a moment to jump. And if a person doesn't capitalize on that moment, the chol's man va'ez tachas ha'shamayim. There's mamish, there's an ace to jump. And if a person doesn't jump at that time, then it can really make things difficult to try to rebound after that. That's part of the process. That's a kosher way of doing it. That you make the jump. That's part of the bechina of kasha zivugin kiyos yamsef. That you jump because you see from everything around you that it's right. That this is the right thing to do, and that you've spoken it over with somebody, and you feel secure that it's the right thing to do. That this feels right. It feels right to do this. Another hashkafa, which comes out, which is very lamaisadik in the dating process, is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Klai Yisrael to be his zivug on Pesach night, there was a moment of which we say, Ata v'chatana mikol ha'amim, ahavta yisanu v'ratzisa banu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us, and he was ratzisa banu. That he desired us. And part of the ratzisa banu, when it comes into a lamaisa of choosing a spouse, is that, as we said before, which we'll just repeat again because of the importance of it, is that we have to choose the person themselves. Nothing chitzonis about the person. It has to be a choice of the person itself. Like the shorash nefesh of the person, the value, the pnimis value, which you see in the person. That's called ratzisa banu. The vayara lokim es b'nei Yisrael v'yeda lokim. The ratzisa banu also means that the most important thing to choose about that person is the person. And I think we mentioned it before, but this is really like the halacha l'maisa time to mention this again. Is that many times when a guy and a girl are going out, they discuss things, not just like we said before, which are not shaykh for this date, because either it's supposed to be discussed later and you're jumping the gun and you're discussing it at a time now where this is not the time to discuss it. The person has to know how to span out the conversation like we spoke about of the chitzonis and the pnimius, when's appropriate for when. But included in that is there certain things which guy and a girl don't decide as even a chasan and kala, or while they're dating. These are things which are decided upon when they come together and they are married with each other. One of the big things which can be an ikov that a person can literally pass up on his zivug is a conversation of, where do you want to live? Where do you want to live? Where do you want to live is part of the thing which we spoke about before, which is sense of entitlement. I'm entitled to live where I want to live. And that's true while you're single. I mean, if you're discussing that with a friend, you have every right to tell your friend, you know, where you think you would like to live. But when you're going out with somebody and you have to make a decision about whether or not you want to marry this person, all of a sudden where you want to live does not just become where you want to live, it's where we want to live. And to come in to a date, into a potential relationship with somebody, dictating where it is you want to live, is really a choice of choosing a place over a person. And you've made the makum where you want to live a machitza between yourself and a shidduch. Because you've chosen a place over a person. This is exactly what it is. I can only live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, well, Hashem doesn't see it that way. Because this girl needs to live in Chutz Laretz. And if she needs to live in Chutz Laretz, you also need to live in Chutz Laretz. Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said, listen, I can only go in Eretz Yisrael, that means that when Klai someone at the Galus, the Shekhinah wouldn't have gone. I can only live in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that. Then we'd be mamish suffering here. Is that a marriage? Hashem said, that's not a marriage. The marriage was that when I got into this with you, I told you that I would be wherever you go, and you will be with me wherever I go. And as much as the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to be in Eretz Yisrael, and he wants us to be in Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be times where she has to go here, and he has to go there, but that doesn't separate the bond between themselves, because what's important in the relationship is me and you. And the Zman is tuffel to that, and the Mokom is tuffel to that. Right? There's what's called Ashan. Ashan stands for Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. That the most important thing in the relationship is the people. Is that Ahavta Isanu V'Ratzisa Banu, is that Hashem chose Bnei Yisrael and He put the place and He put the time tofa to the actual Klai Yisrael. And that's part of the Mesiras Nefesh of being at the Mizbeach, is that a person, he doesn't come in with anything which will be a Ma'akev, which will be holding him back from finding Kizivug, because finding Kizivug is the most important thing, that nothing can be a mechitza between me and my Zivug. Nothing can be. Nothing is too great to make an expense of that, to be able to find a Zivug, which is why a person, he closes the Gemara, and he goes out and he goes out on a shidduch date. He's like, even the Torah has to be tuffel to that. Because my Zivug is my Zivug. This is something which is misheshes meberashes. Who can argue on that? It comes from a place which has been decided. And you see, it's a very common mistake. That it just happened with me, mamish, 2 weeks ago. I was trying to read a shit up between a guy and a girl. And the guy, mamish, she only wants to live in Eretz Yisrael, and she can't see herself living in Eretz Yisrael more than 2-3 years. And his mamish, it's such a good idea. Such a good idea. But they didn't go out. In the meantime, the guy is 28 and the girl's 24, right? And they're still holding on to this. Another just lemaisa aspect, and it's getting late. I was going to speak about engagement, but you know, we'll have to do that for next time. Is that there's the dating, and then there is the when the date is over. Not just when the date is over, when it's mamish over. When either he says no to her or she says no to him. There should be no hard feelings. I think we mentioned this before, but this is the very lemaisadik. There should be no hard feelings. There's nothing to say that you're not a good guy. Even as much as he may have liked her, she may have liked him. It's nothing personal. Because nothing personal to do with you. It's something which is personal to me. This is a decision which is a very personal decision, and you don't always have to explain to the other party why not. There's a certain understanding if we approach this with a certain maturity, that the girl and the guy don't need to explain to each other why not. First of all, it can only be hurtful. There's nothing to gain from it. It can only be hurtful. But secondly, it's a very private thing. It's something which is very personal. That's not something which you can convince the other person of. Therefore, right, if a guy hears that a girl says no, or a girl of hers that the guy says no, whatever it is, right? The Sefer Hasidim says, this is mamash from the Sefer Hasidim, Ve'efne al yamin o al smal. Eliezer said to Lavan, he says, tell me which way. If you tell me yes, then great. If you tell me no, then I'll go on my way. Meaning I'll go straight to the next one. The person doesn't have to hold on to it. And mamash bitzabrach. And okay, many times a person is emotionally involved and it can be hard. But if a person, it comes with the attitude of, I'm looking for that which is mine, so it doesn't mean that you always have to be the one which is saying no. It means that also when the other party says no, that's also minashamayim. It also means that it's not right. It just happened to be that it worked from left to right as opposed to right to left. But if a person goes be'emuna, he saves himself such emotional turmoil. Because it's not just about, you know, I thought it could work and I really liked you. This is also minashamayim that it's not supposed to be that way. And a person has the raglayim and he has the strength to be able to say, okay, on to the next. I'm not going to delay. I'm going to go to the next one. Because it just means that this wasn't the right one for me, then it's time to move on. It saves a person a lot of unnecessary pain. And we'll just conclude because we said we would come back to it. The idea of Ishe Reach Nichayach Lashem. That this idea of Ishe Reach Nichayach Lashem, this Koyach of Reach, this ability to smell, that the ability to smell is the most pnimi of all of the chushim that a person has. That's what the Gemara says, that it's the chush shehaneshama nanas mimena. It's the chush that a person's neshama gets benefit from. Whereas a person can be fooled by what his eyes see or what his ears hear. But even if something is mamish covered up, you can still smell what it is. Like the Gemara says about Mashiach, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Mashiach's siman is he's marach vadan, which means that he's able to sniff out the truth. That he doesn't judge by what he sees or what he hears. He judges by, he smells the real truth, because the emes many times is concealed. What that means when it comes to a shidduch is that if a person feels that there's an isha reach nichayach Lashem, that the isha has a certain reach nichayach, that there's a certain reach which she has, which I can't see what it is about her, and it's not even for what I hear about her, it's just something which I smell about her, that it comes from a deeper place. But it's an isha which is reach nichayach, not just that it smells good, it's Lashem. That there's something special about this person on a pnimius level, as it appeals to me, that it smells good to me. Now not everything which you see and smells good to everybody, but for me it smells good to me. That it smells right, that there's a good smell. So that's a bechina de kedusha. That's an isha reach nichayach Lashem. That it's an isha which is a reach nichayach Lashem. And just one last thing, because it's just an important hashkafa, in terms of the time spent on the date should not be a time in which a person goes out for a very long time on the actual date itself. There's something which is called overkill. There's too much time spent. And again, you're already crossing the line of what belongs to the next date. And a person should not be afraid, and it's not a lack of derech eretz, that to end dates sooner than later. Dates should not be 7-8 hour dates. It's a very geisha thing. That's a simon that a person has gotten lost in the dating scene. The dates should be something which are very tachlis dek. Doesn't mean that they're coarse, it means that they're very tachlis dek. And for karet, that she'll respect you more, and you'll respect her more when you're able to maintain that level of kedusha and that sense of tachlis. In a few hours, you can accomplish much more. And when you already go overboard, it's called a mosif goreya. That's already something which you can't tap into, but you wish you could just do that now, but you can't do that now. It takes a certain maturity to know that you can only accomplish so much in one sitting. And fakert, you really want to end the date in a way where you're excited to be with that person, and you end it anyways so that you're excited to see the person the next time. You don't want that fire should burn out. You want that you should end it in a way where the fire is still burning so that the next time you'll pick up again when the fire is already hot. that ensures that there'll be a hamshacha. Many times a person is literally sitting with his ziva, but because he doesn't know how to date, he's killing the fire. He's putting out the fire biyadayim. Because he doesn't know, he doesn't have the maturity to say, okay, let's end the date now. And part of maintaining the sanctity of the dates is to go on a date which maintains her tznius and her kavod. Not to do things which will put her in a situation where she'll be embarrassed to do those things. Many girls don't like to bowl. It's not kavodic for them. They just don't feel comfortable doing that. Right? Tznius girls, they just don't feel comfortable bending down like that in front of other, and that's totally right. That sounds very good. Or to take a girl to a place where she may see other people who she knows. It means being sensitive to preserve the kavod of the person, because you're the guy, many times you're going to be choosing where to go and how to do things. If a person has a shayla, he should ask. But to maintain the tznius, kol kfud the bas melech pnima. Even if she has to go out, she wants to maintain the kol kfud the bas melech pnima. All that comes with understanding that where we are when we're dating, we're in. It's a temporary jump into the Kodesh Kodashim. It's a bechina of Yom Kippur Katan. There's a certain jump. And Hashem will speak about next week in terms of the actual engagement time period, where that plays itself, where that finds itself in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very gray area. It's a very complicated area, the whole engagement. So many basherets have been lost because of the engagement period. So Mitzvah Hashem, we'll speak about that next time. And of course, there's many things to discuss in terms of pratim, but we're trying to lay down certain klalim and maybe certain pratim of the klalim, but every situation is going to be a little bit different. Like we said, a person should chazer the klalim very strong so they can understand the pratim, able to make wise decisions and to be able to discern what's a hamshacha, what's not a hamshacha, to have somebody to speak to in terms of these inyanim. And the more that a person preserves the Kedusha V'Tara, that he's Osek in Tshuva, that he's Dovek to the Mizbeach and to the Mesiris Nefesh and to the Hashkafos, and that he's really wants to do it, Beseder Taras. The more that he's ensuring that Hashem will ensure him to be Zaych, to find his Zivug Bekalus, of a Simcha, of a Nachas, and everybody in Klaisel should find his Zivug, and Hashem should restore his Zivug with his Shechina, with us, which is the real Kala, Bias Galtzeg, Me'ev Amen.
Amen.